So thank you all for coming out today. It's wonderful to be back. Good to see you all. And I think I'm going to stand. I like to stand. I know this is a more informal group and that you don't normally stand, you normally sit. But I'm Italian and I can't help myself. I got to get into the thing with the body and everything. So I want to stand. So I want to start off with the question. A very simple question in essence. Let's start off with something easy. I ask you, how old are you? And everybody's got some sort of an answer. You know, your chronological, biological years. It's a part of our identification with the world. We know how old we are. It seems to be a relatively straightforward question. You come into the world and you have a birth certificate and it gives you a date of birth and that's how old you are, simply from now until the time you leave this earth. I remember I had a friend in my first study group, my first church, and she had home births. And so she would have the baby at home, and she didn't get the birth certificate right away. Well, when the baby was very young, she took it to the hospital, and they asked her how old the baby was, and she told them, and they said, well, we have no birth certificate. We have no proof of how old he is. And she goes, I have proof. He's here. I mean, he's here. What more proof do you need? That's proof that we exist. We're here. So we have our biological age, and some people now go online and they do, what is your spiritual age or what is your emotional age? And perhaps you may feel like different parts of your body have aged at a different rate than other parts. You may say, well, I'm 60 years old, but ask my knees, they're 70. You know, or ask my face, I'm actually a bit younger, you know. But usually, when we think of how old we are, it's some sort of solid, known fact that identifies us as physical beings. But if you look at it from the point of view of some of the scientists and the doctors, it's not necessarily so. Even that is not a cause for being hypnotized by the consciousness of the world into believing we are a number. If you ask Deepak Chopra, the great doctor and scientist, how old you are, he tells us in quantum healing, well, that's actually a more loaded question than you may realize. In quantum healing, Deepak starts off in a chapter called The Sculpture or the River with this thought from Heraclitus. He says, you cannot step into a river in the same place twice. The river is constantly being changed by new water rushing in. So here's the information on your body and how old we actually are. All of us are much more like a river than anything frozen in time and space. If you could see your body as it really is, you would never see it the same way twice. 98% of the atoms in your body were not there a year ago. 98% of the atoms in your body. And you know what they say about atoms? Never trust an atom. Because atoms make up everything. 98% of the atoms in your body were not there a year ago. The skeleton that seems so solid was not there 3 months ago. The configuration of the bone cells remains somewhat constant, but atoms of all kind pass freely back and forth through the cell walls, and by that means you acquire a new skeleton every 3 months. The skin is new every month. You have a new stomach lining every 4 days, with the actual surface cells that contact food being renewed every 5 minutes.
Wow.
5 minutes. The cells in the liver turn over very slowly, but new atoms still flow through them like water in a river course, making a new liver every 6 weeks. And, you know, here we are in the Centers for Spiritual Living, and we are spiritual livers. So we have a new liver every 6 weeks. Even within the brain, whose cells are not replaced once they die, the content of carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and so on is totally different than it was a year ago. It is as if you lived in a building whose bricks were systematically taken out and replaced every year. If you keep the same blueprint, then it will look like the same building. But it won't be the same in actuality. The human body actually stands there looking much the same from day to day, but throughout the process of respiration, digestion, elimination, and so forth, it is constantly and ever in exchange with the rest of the world. So look at it from a different perspective now when I say, how old are you? Well, are you asking about my liver? Are you asking about my skeleton? Are you asking about my brain? How old are you? So the chapter this month is on the body of God and the awareness of how we are that. We are the body of God. In the chapter, Ernest Holmes starts out with this thought that there is a spiritual prototype of perfection at the center of everything. There is a cosmic or divine pattern at the center of every organ of the physical body. Our body is some part of the body of God. It is a manifestation of the Supreme Spirit. Our body is some part of the body of God. And when we look at the basic principles of the science of mind, it also starts off with that same sentiment, where Ernest says, the manifest universe is the body of God. It is the logical and necessary outcome of the infinite self-knowingness of God. So if you take that on a personal level, you can think of it this way. My manifest universe is the body of God. How often do you say that when you get up in the morning and you look out at the world in which you live? My manifest universe is the body of God. It is a logical and necessary outcome of the infinite self-knowingness of God. So when we talk about the subject of healing, whether it be healing on a physical level, an emotional level, a spiritual level, on an ecological level, on a collective level, on an individual level, we must first of all be aware of how we are framing it. What perspective are we looking at? How are we seeing the world in which we live? Because we're not here to change the world necessarily out there. We are here to see it rightly. You know, I like Lynn's song, talked about the difference between looking inside out and looking from the outside in. We are looking at the world through the lens of the manifest universe is the body of God. And yet, oftentimes, we look at it from outside. And we think that healing has to do with something out there. But really, who we are as that body of God is ever being created anew, not just from a scientific point of view of cells being replaced on an ongoing basis, but every thought, every prayer, every feeling, every belief that we allow to pass through this thing called our body of God out into the manifest universe is ever co-creating something brand new every second. And if you catch that moment by moment, you are brand new in that moment all the time. In What Religious Science Teaches by Ernest Holmes, he talks about how to be aware of your perspective and where are you focused? What are you seeing? He says one of the problems of religious science is to distinguish between that which is temporal and that which is eternal. God or spirit is the only reality, the one substance or essence. The material universe is real as a manifestation of life, but it is an effect. The material universe is real, but it is an effect. So when we talk about the 70-year-old knees, or we talk about the hair that used to be there on our head, but somehow is only now seen in our ears, or we're talking about...
We've been in Florida too long.
We got a lot of that going on. We do a lot of that. Or we're talking about our dog Skippy, or we're talking about what we see on the news, or we're talking about our spiritual community. This is the manifest universe that is the body of God. So we are here to see it from through the lens and from the perspective of divinity all the time. And that is not by denying what happens out there or saying that it does not exist, but by shifting our focus back to source, back to essence, back to that which is divine, and remembering that we are whole and holy right here, right now. So healing really, as Goldsmith said, there is nothing to be healed, only that which is to be revealed. So we're not looking at rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. We are looking at allowing the wholeness to be revealed. So if we're only looking at holiness and wholeness through the lens of what needs to be fixed or changed or corrected or denied, we've missed the boat. Everything is holy now. Everything is whole now. But we must remember to keep going back to source, keep going back to essence. And as we focus on that and then we move into that level of deep and abiding consciousness and we let it go, we're always co-creating something magnificent. So healing is about revealing the divinity that resides within us and to remember that we are here to see things correctly. And if we are not always in that space of seeing things correctly, perhaps things are not flowing in our life as we wish them to flow. We have not learned to let it go. We have allowed that energy, which is the source, to become stuck. Because we've moved out of that field of oneness and into a state of separation. You know, we've thinking, well, I need to change this or I need to fix this. And not remembering that the I that is speaking, the I am, is divinity itself. So we only get stuck when we move into that land of separation, thinking that we, as something somehow apart, are here to fix or change or correct. So we want to remember, as we focus on that which is eternal, birthless, deathless, timeless, as we focus on that and allow it to move through us, that's what frees up the energy in us. When I was beginning to put stuff together for this talk, it's like you have this huge mountain, and so you take a little piece from here and a little piece from there, and you put things together, and you have piles of books and notes and all of that. And I had pulled out the bag from our study group, and I noticed that there was a Science of Mind magazine in there, and I reached in, and it was, of course, The Myth of Healing from 1998, from March. And I thought, now, why would a magazine from March of 1998 be in my bag? Well, it's on healing. So I opened it up, and I said, well, what's relevant in here? And I opened it up to this wonderful quote. So we're talking about freeing up the energy inside of us to remember the truth of our being. The author is Dr. Bonnet, like the hat, Dr. Bonnet. His name is O.T., so I don't know what his real name is. But Dr. Bonnet says, illness is the result of spiritual energy not being given a proper outlet. Conflicted and constrained in such a way that the soul is unable to fulfill its greatest constructive potential. Since we are spiritual beings, endowed with an innate desire to enjoy a cooperative interaction with others in the universe, strife develops deep within us when we are not true to those inherent drives. We find ourselves in turmoil, and this discord is often manifested by mental or physical illness. So if you're feeling the need for a healing somewhere in your life, you're ready to shift your perspective and change your consciousness and change your life, and you're looking at the flow of energy in your life, are you feeling stuck anywhere? And where is that stuckness manifesting in your body or your being? And how can you then let it flow, let the energy move out from that meditative quiet space? It's interesting that when people talk about cancer, a lot of the doctors say that cancer can ultimately be traced back to a moment in someone's life when a trauma occurred. And that trauma remains stuck in the cells of our body. You know, that muscle memory, that cellular memory, that remembers that trauma, and it begins to build up an energy of its own, and it must outpicture somehow, some way. So our work then in consciousness becomes to go into our body when there is a moment of trauma, whether it be emotional, physical, spiritual, whatever it may be, to go back to that energy and to free it up so that when that energy starts to build, that it's given that proper channel so so that we don't have strife, we don't have stuckness, we don't have turmoil, we don't have chaos. We only have and affirm harmony, peace, serenity, flow, well-being, grace, joy, love, whatever those qualities are. So if we are feeling somehow, somewhere stuck, the work begins to move into consciousness to then allow that energy to flow. In the Essential Ernest Holmes, he's talking actually in the very beginning of this chapter, and he says, when we clear the consciousness, that is the whole mental life, both conscious and subjective of discord, we are automatically healed. When we clear the consciousness, we are automatically healed. And isn't that actually the basis of all metaphysical spiritual healing? Is that as the consciousness is shifted, the form follows. As we focus on the essence, that which is manifested comes forth. But we can't do it just by focusing on the outside. We can't do it by just changing the form. We have to go back in consciousness to create new patterns, create new beliefs, to create something brand new. So we learn that if you want to manifest something, radiant divine health, a new car, a new relationship, go back to the essence and bring your awareness to those qualities that are waiting to be realized and outpictured in your life, and let them do their thing. Don't go after the stuff. The stuff will follow. So it's the same thing with health, and yet somehow we think it's a little different or a little more or more challenging, or is that God knows big and small. This is easier than other things. If you wanted a new car, you wanted a shiny red Corvette, you may go out and just visualize yourself driving in that shiny red Corvette. You may find yourself visualizing the perfect deal at the car lot with the perfect salesman. You may picture the money flowing to it or having it being taken care of. But ultimately, if you sit and reflect on what that Corvette means to you, maybe what you're wanting to experience is more freedom in your life. And flying down the road with the wind in your hair as you got the top back on the convertible feels good. Maybe you want a little more beauty, so you pick red or shiny yellow like Fiesta Grace. Maybe you want to have a sense of empowerment because you're the one behind the wheel. But if you bring your awareness back to the qualities that you want to express, that will always take form. That's the way that the law works. It's the same thing with our body. If you're picturing well-being, no matter what the diagnosis is, no matter what's showing up in your life right now, there's a greater truth waiting to be expressed, waiting to be revealed. Go back to the essence. Go back and remember that every organ, atom, tissue, fiber function of your being is working in perfect harmony with every other. And focus on harmony. Maybe you're out picturing strength, flexibility, empowerment. Go back to that essence, and that essence will then move through the circuits of your energy and clear all those stuck places in your being and your body. So let's take a moment. I invite you to just close your eyes, and let's have Ernest give us the first of two prayers. And as you take a deep breath, I invite you just to bring your hands together and rub them together. To allow that energy to increase, and then place them gently over your heart. Ernest says, my body is the temple of the living spirit. Say that with me. My body is the temple of the living spirit. Feel how that energy shifts when you're aware of that. When you see this body as the temple of the living spirit itself. Ernest goes on to say, it is spiritual substance now. Every part of my body is in harmony with the living spirit within me. The life of the spirit flows through every atom of my being. vitalizing, invigorating, and renewing every part of my physical body. There is a pattern of perfection at the center of my being, which is now operating through every organ, function, action, and reaction. My body is forever renewed by the Spirit, and I am now made vigorous and whole. The life of the Spirit is my life. Say that with me. The life of the Spirit is my life. And its strength is my strength. And its strength is my strength.
And its strength is my strength.
I am born of the Spirit.
I am born of the Spirit.
I am in the Spirit.
I am in the Spirit.
I am the Spirit made manifest.
I am the Spirit made manifest.
Breathe into that and feel the energy flowing through your body. As you breathe into your heart, envision that white light expanding. Every moment and every molecule, every inch and every ounce of our being is that light right now. So breathe in and know that wherever you go, this is your practice. So breathe into that space of gratitude. And when you're ready, open your eyes. So who we all are is greater than any experience that we are having. It's greater than any story that we are telling. It's greater than any physical diagnosis or disease that's arising. Who we are is brilliance and light and healing, holy, magnificent wonder. That's what I tell Connie every 2 weeks, but I tell her that in different ways. But it's always the same story, isn't it? It's always the same story.
It is.
And if you need to remember that, who better than someone like Gail, someone like Connie, practitioners of light. We are all those practitioners, whether we are licensed or not. You know, you go to a practitioner and they say, I have a license and I know how to use it. Mm-hmm. But we want to always remember our true nature and that consciousness of someone holding the light and awareness for you. When they see you, they say, I see you. I know who you are. I know the light that is the truth of your being. There was a story that my spiritual teacher told me when I first began in practitioner training, and he was going to see his practitioner. And he was experiencing some challenges in his life, and so he set up a time to meet with them, an appointment, and he wanted to go and meet her face to face. And he drove up to her house with all of these things on his mind. You know how all, you have all this list of all these things. We call it sometimes an organ recital, you know, because you have your liver hurts or your heart hurts, or, you know, it becomes your organ recital. And he had this whole list of things that he was going to tell her about. And he knew that as her, his practitioner, she would pray for him and everything would be great. So he pulled up to her house, got out of the car, started to walk up her driveway. She opened up the door. She looked at him. She said his name. He said, yep, that's right. Turned around, got back in the car and went home. It just takes someone, sometimes, just a moment to look at us and to see us, and we say our name. And there is in that vibration of that name, the essence of everything that ever was, ever will be, and is now. The true knowing of our divine nature is just heard in that voice, it's seen in that eyes, and remember. We don't have to go through a long, convoluted process of healing. Sometimes the biological outpicturing may do what it needs to do in the realm of time and space, but in that moment we remember everything is as it should be. We are healed, we are whole, we are restored back to our right mind. That's one of the things that I remember when I am in need of healing. I know because I sit down and I go, ah, I am not in my right mind. And there's always someone that holds the light for me. So who holds the light for you? Everyone should have someone that when they look at you, they see the magnificent truth of your being. They behold the divine nature that is the essence of who you are. So that's why we say that whatever you came looking for today, you came with that. You already are that. That is what is being revealed moment by moment in, through, and as your experience here in this time and in this place. Healing is a revelation. In Living the Science of Mind, it says the practitioner should know that at the center of every man's being, there is an absolutely perfect life, a complete wholeness, and a deathless principle. The work of the practitioner is to mentally uncover this ever-present reality, this changeless and eternal perfection. So as whether we have a practitioner that works for us, or we're tapping into that divine practitioner that's already in the center of our being, we are here to mentally uncover this ever-present reality and this eternal perfection. My favorite quote from Ernest Holmes: the realization of the presence of God is the greatest healing agency known to the mind of man. That in every moment we do that mental uncovering by having that moment, a realization of the presence of God. And it is the perception of wholeness that is the consciousness of healing. And so we are going back inside to have that perception of wholeness, to reveal the consciousness outpictured that is divine. So all of us, we are all doing that work on some level. So how are you outpicturing the presence of spirit in your life today? How is that being revealed? How is that unfolding for you? So let's do one more prayer from this chapter. I invite you once again to close your eyes and turn within. And just bring your awareness once again to your breath. And Ernest talks about the body of God and the one life prayer. Wherever you are, whatever you're experiencing, the one life prayer is the easiest thing to say. Whether you're putting your key in the ignition, or whether you're ready to pick up the telephone, or you're ready to have a conversation with someone, you're ready to go into the doctor's office. Ernest begins with that prayer: there is just one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. Let's say that one life prayer together. There is just one life.
There is just one life.
That life is God's life.
God,
that life is perfect.
That life is
my life now.
That life is my life now.
That's your one life. Ernest goes on to say, my body is a manifestation of the living spirit. It is created and sustained by the one presence and the one power. That one power is flowing in and through me now, animating every organ, every action, and every function of my physical being. There is perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, and perfect elimination. There is no congestion, no confusion, and no inaction. I am one with the infinite rhythm of life, which flows through me in love, in harmony, and in peace. There is no fear, no doubt, and no uncertainty in my mind. I am letting that life, which is perfect, flow through me. It is my life now. There is just one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. So breathing into that awareness, I am affirming the divine wholeness and holiness of each and every beautiful kindred soul seated in the circle today, as we remember to see things rightly, to allow the energy to flow through us and to remember our divine nature. So in silence and stillness now, let us take a moment as we bless this marvelous living spirit that we know as David. As Bethany. As Gail. As Connie. As Lynn, as Felicia, as Val, as Maria, and each and every brilliant and beautiful soul that is in this circle with us now, everyone who's ever walked through this door, and everyone who is yet to come, everyone that we carry in the silent, sacred spaces of our own hearts and minds, all of those beautiful souls that we lift in the light of prayer each and every day, they are here with us now in this consciousness of healing and wholeness. And we move forth from this place today transformed, renewed, inspired, uplifted, sustained, and maintained by this one in always, for always. We are the body of God. We allow that light to shine. We express that love that resides deep within. We manifest this eternal peace. We are the joy, the wisdom, the grace, the well-being, all of the qualities of the divine right here and right now. If you accept this truth with me and you stand in this light, join me as we say, and so it is. And so it is. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.